السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، آمين. I'd like to welcome everybody to the 26th night of recitation and reflection. Alhamdulillah, we've been doing this for so long now. Alhamdulillah, it's become such a part of our daily routine. And we just have a few days left in this blessed month. And it's an honor and it's a blessing for us to be able to go through this journey and go on this journey together. And to start off, I'd like to first again thank our sponsor, Helping Hand for Relief and Development. This is an organization that has been around for a very long time, and they've dedicated themselves to helping orphans, refugees, widows, pretty much anyone in need anywhere at all. And they've especially had to do more work given the current circumstance and the pandemic that we're experiencing. And alhamdulillah, while a lot of us have the luxury to be able to stay home and to be able to stay safe, a lot of people have been affected by this and displaced, and Helping Hand is on the ground helping these people. So please consider donating. They do accept sadaqah, zakat, and fidya. So please head over to hhrd.org to find out more, and please consider supporting them. Next up, I'd like to introduce our reciter today is Abdul Mu'izz Malamar, and alhamdulillah, this is someone that I know very well. I had the honor and privilege to be his teacher on his journey at the Qalam Seminary. He was one of the students that started with us at the very beginning. So I was his teacher through his Arabic journey, and now, mashallah, he's continuing his studies at the Qalam Seminary. Inshallah, today we're going to begin the 26th juz with Surah Al-Ahqaf. Surah Ahqaf is a Meccan surah that contains 35 verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the surah by reminding us of His majesty and really of how we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to respond to the mushrikun of Mecca. And really the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls out the absurdity of worshipping idols. And this is something that we see throughout the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them to show me something that the idols have created. Show me something that they've produced. If you're putting them at the status, or you're associating them with Allah, the Creator, then show me anything that they've created, or show me some message that they gave you. Show me anything, any piece of knowledge that they have given you. And this is a reminder to them that on the Day of Judgment, everything that they called on beside Allah will stand up as enemies against them. Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم ما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى والذين كفروا عما أنذروا معرضون قل أرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله أروني ماذا خلقوا من الأرض أم لهم شرك في السماوات إيتوني بكتاب من قبل هذا أو أثارة من علم إن كنتم صادقين ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة وهم عن دعائهم غافلون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us some of the ways that the disbelievers used to reject the message. When they used to see clear proofs come to them, some of them would say that this is just magic that you've brought. And some of them would accuse the Prophet ﷺ of making it up. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's told to respond to them by saying that if I made it up, like you're saying that I did, then there would be no one that can save me from Allah. Then I would be destroyed as well. And the Prophet ﷺ reminds them that he is a prophet like those that came before him, and he only follows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, right? Prophets don't speak of their own accord. They are only messengers on behalf of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ is only bringing us a message, and he is warning us about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what will happen to you, will you believe if the people that were given the book from before, if they affirm this message, if they believe in it, then what will you say? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end that those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of this page he says, those who say our Lord is Allah and stay firm on that, then they will have no reason to fear or grieve. And those are the people of Jannah.
وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ إِنْ افْتَرَيْتُهُ فَلَا تَمْلِكُونَ لِي مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ كَفَى بِهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ فَآمَنَ وَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا لو كان خيرا ما سبقونا إليه وإذ لم يهتدوا به فسيقولون هذا إفك قديم ومن قبله كتاب موسى إماما ورحمة وهذا كتاب مصدق لسانا عربيا لينذر الذين ظلموا وبشرى للمحسنين إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he highlights for us the rights of our parents. And in this passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us of the blessing that our parents are. And really, when you think about family and the blessing of parents, this is a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us from day one. We don't get to choose who our parents are. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he reminds us of the difficulty that our parents went through, the difficulty our mothers went through to bear us and to give birth to us and then to take care of us. And it's a reminder for us because it's something that you and I can't remember, right? If we try to think back when our parents took care of us when we were babies, it's not something that you and I can remember, reflect on, and then be grateful, but we have to be reminded of that. And then another way, if it doesn't quite sink in, if you look around you and you ever see parents who have young children now, and you see how their entire life revolves around taking care of them. Every single thing that they do in their day is to take care of their children. Everything is dedicated to them. So when you see that, don't just look at it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, when you see that, then remember that you were just like that once upon a time. And remember that your parents took care of you, and know that the responsibility to do good by your parents is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, he reminds us of a beautiful dua that a person would make when they're older and they reflect back on this blessing of parents. They would say, "My Lord, enable me to be grateful for your favor." And this is a very beautiful expression I just want to remind everyone of here, that the ability to be grateful to Allah, the ability to see favors of Allah, and to have that awareness to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in and of itself is a huge blessing. And we're seeing in this dua, and we saw it previously as well in the Quran, that we're making dua for Allah to allow us to be grateful, to allow us to see those favors and turn to Him. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us grateful for His favor that He bestowed upon us and upon our parents, and to make us righteous, and to approve and make righteous for us our offspring. And then the dua ends with, indeed I have repented to you, and indeed I am from the Muslims.
ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين أولئك الذين نتقبل عنهم أحسن ما عملوا ونتجاوز عن سيئاتهم في أصحاب الجنة وعد الصدق الذي كانوا يوعدون والذي قال لوالديه أفٍ لكما أتعدانني أن أخرج وقد خلت القرون من قبلي وهما يستغيثان الله ويلك آمن إن وعد الله حق فيقول ما هذا إلا أساطير الأولين أولئك الذين حق عليهم القول في أمم قد خلت من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين ولكل درجات مما عملوا وليوفيهم أعمالهم وهم لا يظلمون ويوم يعرض الذين كفروا على النار أذهبتم طيباتكم في حياتكم الدنيا واستمتعتم بها فاليوم تجزون عذاب الهون بما كنتم تستكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق وبما كنتم تفسقون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forth a reminder for the people of Mecca. And He reminds them of a people that came before them who were stronger than them, who Allah had blessed with more power. And those are the people of Ad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people of Mecca of this nation that came before them that was more powerful than them. And because of their rejection and because of how they treated their prophet, they were destroyed. And this is a reminder for the Meccans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Ad, He blessed them with power and strength. But every time a prophet came to them and a messenger came to them, they rejected them. And they were arrogant. And they used to ask the prophets to rush the punishment. To say, if it's true, then let it come now. And when the punishment came to them in the form of rain clouds, they thought that they were going to be blessed with rain. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them by means of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to them that, where were all of those that you used to call upon besides me? Where were those that you used to associate with me when the punishment came to you?
واذكر أخا عاد إذ أنذر قومه بالأحقاف وقد خلت النذر من بين يديه ومن خلفه ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم قالوا أجئتنا لتأفكنا عن آلهتنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين قال إنما العلم عند الله وأبلغكم ما أرسلت به ولكني أراكم قوما تجهلون فلما رأوه عارضا مستقبل أوديتهم قالوا هذا عارض ممطرنا بل هو ما استعجلتم به ريح فيها عذاب أليم تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها فأصبحوا لا يرى إلا مساكنهم كذلك نجزي القوم المجرمين ولقد مكناهم فيما إن مكناكم فيه وجعلنا لهم سمعا وأبصارا وأفئدة فما أغنى عنهم سمعهم ولا أبصارهم ولا أفئدتهم من شيء إذ كانوا يجحدون بآيات الله وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون ولقد أهلكنا ما حولكم من القرى وصرفنا الآيات لعلهم يرجعون فلولا نصرهم الذين اتخذوا من دون الله قربانا آلهة بل ضلوا عنهم وذلك إفكهم وما كانوا يفترون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of a remarkable event that occurred in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He reminds us that even the jinn, they would listen to the recitation of the Qur'an and they would be moved by it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us of an incident after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered great tragedy and loss in Ta'if. And he was on the way back to Mecca and he was praying. A few jinn were passing by and they just overheard the Qur'an. They just overheard the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer. And just as a result, just from that listening of the recitation, they accepted Islam. And they accept Islam and then they go back to their people and they start to invite them to Islam. They go back to their people and they say, oh, our people, we have just listened to a message that came after Musa, confirming previous messages, giving guidance to the truth and the straight path. Oh, our people, respond to the one who calls you to Allah. Believe in him so that Allah will forgive you your sins and protect you from a painful torment. And then they have all these realizations just by being reminded by the Quran. And then they continue to say that those who fail to respond to Allah's call cannot escape Allah's power anywhere on earth, nor will they have any protector against him. Such people have clearly gone far astray. So we see that the effect of the Quran, the effect that it has on the listener, even upon the jinn, we see this effect, and this is highlighted in the Quran here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then closes this page with a message of resolve and comfort to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reminding him to be patient and to have firm resolve through these trying and tough times.
وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى مصدقا لما بين يديه يهدي إلى الحق وإلى طريق مستقيم يا قومنا أجيبوا داعي الله وآمنوا به يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويجركم من عذاب أليم ومن لا يجب داعي الله فليس بمعجز في الأرض وليس له من دونه أولياء أولئك في ضلال مبين أولم يروا أن الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض ولم يعي بخلقهن بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى بلى إنه على كل شيء قدير ويوم يعرض الذين كفروا على النار أليس هذا بالحق قالوا بلى وربنا قال فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون فاصبر كما صبر أولو العزم من الرسل ولا تستعجل لهم كأنهم يوم يرون ما يوعدون لم يلبثوا إلا ساعة من نهار بلاغ فهل يهلك إلا القوم الفاسقون.
That marks the conclusion of Surah Ahqaf, and on the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins a new surah, and this is Surah Muhammad. This is a Madanin surah that has 38 verses. The surah begins with a powerful reminder for the believers, those who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there to aid and support them. No matter what their circumstance, no matter what it looks like, or what their situation may feel like, they should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for them. And in this opening page, there's a lot of instructions for believers on how to engage in combat when they face the disbelievers in battle, how to deal with prisoners, and a lot of details that go along with that. And one of the underlying messages that we see here after this reminder and this big ask of the believers to go out and fight and strive and sacrifice their lives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah comforts the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and comforts the believers. And he tells them that don't worry about those that are killed. Allah will enter them into paradise. Allah will provide for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says a very powerful phrase here later on at the end of the page. He says, "O you who believe, if you help Allah, if you help the way of Allah, the religion of Allah, He will help you and He will make you stand firm. He will make you be steadfast." And then later on in this page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a similar reminder. And He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the believers. He is there to protect them, while the disbelievers, they have no one that can support them. And this is a reality that if we internalize, it gives us a newfound strength and hope through any difficulty and any trial that we might be going through.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله أضل أعمالهم والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وآمنوا بما نزل على محمد وهو الحق من ربهم كفر عنهم سيئاتهم وأصلح بالهم ذلك بأن الذين كفروا اتبعوا الباطل وأن الذين آمنوا اتبعوا الحق من ربهم كذلك يضرب الله للناس أمثالهم فإذا لقيتم الذين كفروا فضرب الرقاب حتى إذا أثخنتموهم فشدوا الوثاق فإما منا بعد وإما فداء حتى تضع الحرب أوزارها ذلك ولو يشاء الله لانتصر منهم ولكن ليبلو بعضكم ببعض والذين قتلوا في سبيل الله فلن يضل أعمالهم لهم سيهديهم ويصلح بالهم ويدخلهم الجنة عرفها لهم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم والذين كفروا فتعسا لهم وأضل أعمالهم ذلك بأنهم كرهوا ما أنزل الله فأحبط أعمالهم أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم دمر الله عليهم وللكافرين أمثالها ذلك بأن الله مولى الذين آمنوا وأن الكافرين لا مولى لهم.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us the outcome of the believers versus the outcome of the disbelievers. He tells us that the disbelievers will enjoy this life for a bit. They will have some enjoyment. They will have some successes in this life. However, the believers will have something far greater in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a brief description of Jannah here. He tells us that Jannah will have rivers of water that is forever pure, and rivers of milk that will never go bad, and rivers of wine to enjoy and delight in, and rivers of honey that has been clarified and is pure. And all of these will flow, just ever flowing and will never run out. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there they will find fruit of every kind and they will find forgiveness from their Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, how can this be compared to the fate of those who are stuck in the fire? That they are given boiling water to drink that will destroy their insides. And this is a warning for the disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the page, He warns the believers and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of a new threat that they are facing in Medina. And that is the threat of the hypocrites, and the hypocrites that are also working with some of the Jews in Medina who are plotting against the Muslims, to be mindful of them and to be cautious of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of
إن الله يدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار والذين كفروا يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام والنار مثوى لهم وكأي من قرية هي أشد قوة من قريتك التي أخرجتك أهلكناهم فلا ناصر لهم أفمن كان على بينة من ربه كمن زين له سوء عمله واتبعوا أهواءهم مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسن وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى ولهم فيها من كل الثمرات ومغفرة من ربهم كمن هو خالد في النار وسقوا ماء حميما فقطع أمعاءهم ومنهم من يستمع إليك حتى إذا خرجوا من عندك قالوا للذين أوتوا العلم ماذا قال آنفا أولئك الذين طبع الله على قلوبهم واتبعوا أهواءهم والذين اهتدوا زادهم هدى وآتاهم تقواهم فهل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة فقد جاء أشراطها فأنى لهم إذا جاءتهم ذكراهم فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والله يعلم متقلبكم ومثواكم.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us how the hypocrites responded to the command to fight and sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we see the hypocrites reveal their true colors. Now, when they were asked to go and fight, and when they were asked to actually give up something, then they would always make excuses and find ways to disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a few questions of them, saying, or are their hearts locked? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts on display how they used to plot with one another and how they used to confide in one another to conspire against the believers and conspire against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the page by reminding us that Allah is all aware of their secrecy. Even though they think they're doing all of this in hiding and they can keep it secret from Allah or from the messengers, don't they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can expose them at any moment if he so wills.
ويقول الذين آمنوا لولا نزلت سورة فإذا أنزلت سورة محكمة وذكر فيها القتال رأيت الذين في قلوبهم مرض ينظرون إليك نظر المغشي عليه من الموت فأولى لهم طاعة وقول معروف فإذا عزم الأمر فلو صدقوا الله لكان خيرا لهم فهل عسيتم إن توليتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم أولئك الذين لعنهم الله فأصمهم وأعمى أبصارهم أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها إن الذين ارتدوا على أدبارهم من بعد ما تبين لهم الهدى الشيطان سول لهم وأملى لهم ذلك بأنهم قالوا للذين كرهوا ما نزل الله سنطيعكم في بعض الأمر والله يعلم إسرارهم فكيف إذا توفتهم الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم ذلك بأنهم اتبعوا ما أسخط الله وكرهوا رضوانه فأحبط أعمالهم أم حسب الذين في قلوبهم مرض أن لن يخرج الله أضغانهم.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls upon the believers to obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and to not waste your deeds by any inaction or transgression to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember that this life is just amusement and pastime, and to believe in Allah and be mindful and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result will reward you and not ask you of anything of your worldly life. If you believe, then He will give you more and He's not going to take from you. But then at the end of the surah, there's a powerful reminder that when you are called upon to spend in Allah's way, when the opportunity does come for you to spend in Allah's way, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the reality of mankind. He says that some of you will withhold due to miserliness. And the one who withholds due to miserliness or being stingy, he only withholds against himself. It doesn't hurt Allah. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anyone. And you're the one that needs it. And if you turn away, He will replace you with some other people. Then they will, and they won't be like you. And this is such a powerful reminder that when we are asked to give in the way of Allah, or when we are asked to do something for the sake of Allah, that's an opportunity for us. It's not a burden. It's not something that, you know, we wish we didn't do or we wish we didn't have to do. Rather, we should be excited at the opportunity because it only benefits us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need it from us. We need it. We benefit from it. We experience the joys of that in this life and the next.
وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ فَلَعَرَفْتَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَشَاقُّوا الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيُحْبِطُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ مَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ فَلَا تَهِنُوا وَتَدْعُوا إِلَى السَّلْمِ وَأَنتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ وَاللَّهُ مَعَكُمْ وَلَن يَتِرَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا يؤتكم أجوركم ولا يسألكم أموالكم إن يسألكموها فيحفكم تبخلوا ويخرج أضغانكم ها أنتم هؤلاء تدعون لتنفقوا في سبيل الله فمنكم من يبخل ومن يبخل فإنما يبخل عن نفسه والله الغني وأنتم الفقراء وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ.
That concludes Surah Muhammad. Next, we're going to begin Surah Fath. Surah Fath is a Medinan surah that contains 29 verses. This surah is very important to understand when this surah is revealed. And this was revealed after the believers were turned away at Hudaybiyah. When the Prophet ﷺ and the believers were in Medina and they wished to go to Mecca to perform Hajj. And on the way there, when they got close to Mecca, they were stopped from performing Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ, you know, when he was turning back and when he agreed to the terms of the treaty and he was turning back, the believers, the companions around him struggled for a moment. They hesitated. They really found it difficult that they were not going to be able to perform Hajj. And eventually they followed the Prophet ﷺ and they came back. And this surah, it opens with a clear kind of prophecy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory, that you will go back to Mecca and you will perform Hajj, and Allah will give you peace and tranquility and He will enter you into Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his role. And he says that we have sent you as a prophet and as a witness and as a bearer of good news and as a warner, so that people may believe in you and in Allah and His messenger, and so that they may support Him and honor Him and praise Him in the morning and evening.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما ليدخل المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ويكفر عنهم سيئاتهم وكان ذلك عند الله فوزا عظيما ويعذب المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات والمشركين والمشركات الظانين بالله ظن السوء عليهم دائرة السوء وغضب الله عليهم ولعنهم وأعد لهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عزيزا حكيما إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again gives the message of support for the believers. And He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watchful over you and those who pledge allegiance to you, referring to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this page, there's also a discussion of the Arabs that were outside of Mecca, the desert Bedouin Arabs, who were given the opportunity to join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the way to Mecca, on the way to the Hajj before they were turned away. And they kind of really, some of them accepted, some of them joined, some of them didn't accept because it looked like the Muslims would not be successful. And they kind of would go back and forth. And anytime it looked like the Muslims would experience success and victory, then they would want to join. But if it looked like the Muslims were in trouble, then they would turn away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He knows their true reality. And some of them, we learn through this surah, that some of them did realize the error of their ways and they did join the Muslims sincerely and they did repent and seek forgiveness for what they had done.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهَ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَمَن نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهَ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ قُلْ فَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ ضَرًّا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ نَفْعًا بل كان الله بما تعملون خبيرا بل ظننتم أن لن ينقلب الرسول والمؤمنون إلى أهليهم أبدا وزين ذلك في قلوبكم وظننتم ظن السوء وكنتم قوما بورا ومن لم يؤمن بالله ورسوله فإنا أعتدنا للكافرين سعيرا ولله ملك السماوات والأرض يغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء وكان الله غفورا رحيما. سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبعكم يريدون أن يبدلوا كلام الله قل لن تتبعونا كذلكم قال الله من قبل فسيقولون بل تحسدوننا بل كانوا لا يفقهون إلا قليلا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he refers to the believers that were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he's pleased with the believers when they swore allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Hudaybiyah. And this is something where we see in the seerah, it's kind of this contentious moment, but ultimately we do see that the companions followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result, soon after, he granted them victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of this page that this is the way of Allah. This is what Allah does. This is his plan. And Allah, and no one can ever change the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قل للمخلفين من الأعراب ستدعون إلى قوم أولي بأس شديد تقاتلونهم أو يسلمون فإن تطيعوا يؤتكم الله أجرا حسنا وإن تتولوا كما توليتم من قبل يعذبكم عذابا أليما ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ومن يطع الله ورسوله يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومن يتولى يعذبه عذابا أليما لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وعدكم الله مغانم كثيرة تأخذونها فعجل لكم هذه وكف أيدي الناس عنكم ولتكون آية للمؤمنين ويهديكم صراطا مستقيما وأخرى لم تقدروا عليها قد أحاط الله بها وكان الله على كل شيء قديرا ولو قاتلكم الذين كفروا لولوا الأدبار ثم لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا سنة الله التي قد خلت من قبل ولن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promises that the vision and the dream and the desire of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go back to his home, to go back to Mecca and to perform Hajj will come true and that he will be victorious in the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he closes the surah by reminding us of the rank and the status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he describes for us some of the qualities of the believers. He says that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah, and those who follow him are harsh and firm towards the disbelievers, and they are compassionate towards each other. And you can see them kneeling and prostrating. Part of the qualities of believers is that they kneel and they prostrate, and they seek Allah's bounty and his good pleasure. And on their faces, you can see marks of their sujood. You can see the physical marks of their prostration on their faces. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the believers in the Torah, and in the gospel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reaffirms these qualities, and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises forgiveness and a great reward to those who believe and do righteous deeds.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا هم الذين كفروا وصدوكم عن المسجد الحرام والهدي معكوفا أن يبلغ محلة ولولا رجال مؤمنون ونساء مؤمنات لم تعلموهم أن تطؤوهم فتصيبكم منهم معرة بغير علم ليدخل الله في رحمته من يشاء لو تزيلوا لعذبنا الذين كفروا منهم عذابا أليما إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية فأنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وألزمهم كلمة التقوى وكانوا أحق بها وأهلها وكان الله بكل شيء عليما لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
That concludes Surah Muhammad. On the next page, we're going to begin Surah Hujarat. And this surah is known as the Surah of Manners and Etiquettes. And we find throughout this surah many injunctions on how to conduct ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with the most important one. And He tells us to never put anything ahead of Allah and His Messenger. To never put something yourself or prioritize anything ahead of Allah and His Messenger. And to never raise your voice in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to never call out to him and his family like ignorant people. And this is a reminder that respecting the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't respect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we're not respecting Allah and we're not doing right by Allah. And a question that comes up here often when we read these ayat is, how do we practice not raising our voice in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And one of the things that you and I can practice is that when we learn or when we hear of a hadith or of a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of finding ways to, you know, explain it with different contexts or other explanations, for a moment try to just reflect on it and try to think about it and try to implement it. Right? Instead of always trying to put yourself first or put some other understanding first, for a moment, allow for the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand true and reflect over them and give them their due right.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give us commands and instructions on how to conduct ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to verify news when it comes to you. Don't believe everything that you see. Don't believe that everything that you hear. And this is very relevant to us nowadays. It's something that we often don't think about, but you know, we read headlines or we get a WhatsApp forward and immediately we assume everything that we read is true. But as believers, we have to be cautious of that and we have to verify information because there is a huge trial and huge corruption that can occur if everyone is just spreading whatever comes to their mind, the first thing that they read, if they just continue to spread it forward without verifying its validity. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers that don't ever forget that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amongst you all. Right, you might spend a lot of time with him, you might get comfortable with him, and he is very kind and loving towards you, but don't forget his rank and his status amongst you all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells believers to reconcile when there are two fighting parties, when there's two parties on opposite sides, that a third party of believers should try to reconcile. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that believers are like brothers, they're like a family. And this is a very powerful principle that you and I, whether we're related by blood or not, but we have something stronger than that. And we're related by this connection to our faith, this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us at the end of this page, the last advice he gives is to not mock or ridicule one another. Bismillah.
ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم والله غفور رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون فضلا من الله ونعمة والله عليم حكيم وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما فإن بغت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي حتى تفيء إلى أمر الله فإن فاءت فأصلحوا بينهما بالعدل وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us to not make assumptions, to never just assume things, because he says that assumptions can lead to sin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to not slander or backbite. And here we find in the Quran one of the most graphic examples that is given in the Quran, an example that is there to illustrate to us how disgusting the act of backbiting and slandering is. And really it's something that's become so commonplace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that part of human nature is for this to be something that is so widespread. And he uses a very graphic example to highlight to us how disgusting it is. And he tells us that, would any of you like to eat the flesh of your brother, of your dead brother's body? And this is a very graphic example, which we often don't find in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting for us the prohibition of something, or why something is not allowed, or why it is a detested action. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us that we have been created in nations and tribes. We've been created in different groups and races so that we can get to know one another. And this is a very important principle, because a lot of times different nations and different tribes and ethnicities, all of these things are used to try to, for people to try to one up one another, to say one is better than the other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the objective behind this is so that we can learn and we can know about one another. And then He gives us the only metrics by which we can gauge someone's worth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, that the most noble amongst you is the one who is the most God conscious. And that is the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, what your race is. What matters is how God-fearing and how God-conscious are you. At the end of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He highlights for us this a distinction between submitting and accepting Islam versus having true faith. And He highlights for us these two stages, that there's one aspect of just accepting Islam and entering Islam, and then there's a second level, which is allowing faith to enter in your heart, allowing faith to transform how you live your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this in the Quran by telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the Bedouins, who used to immediately accept Islam and say that we believed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that you've accepted, you've submitted to Islam, but you haven't believed yet. Faith hasn't entered your heart yet. And this tells us that this is something that we have to work towards. And we see constant examples of this in the Quran, where we're always reminded to amana billahi wa amina salihan. We're always reminded to believe in Allah and do good, believe in Allah and do good, to reaffirm that faith and to cultivate it.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعد الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون قل أتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض والله بكل شيء عليم يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين إن الله يعلم غيب السماوات والأرض والله بصير بما تعملون.
That marks the conclusion of Surah Hujarat. Next, we're going to begin Surah Qaf. This is a Meccan surah that contains 45 ayat. And because it's a Meccan surah, it addresses the chief complaints or the chief kind of hiccups that disbelievers had, the thing that held them back from accepting Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the surah by telling us that when they hear the message, they're really amazed by it and they're shook by it and they're affected by it. However, they struggle with the idea of resurrection. The idea that there will be another life, that there is the hereafter, that this life isn't it. They struggled with this idea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responds to this very simply. He reminds us of the creation all around us, every single thing that He created for us. And then He tells us that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything that you see around you, the skies, the earth, all of it, if He did it once, then He can do it again. And this is the response that anyone who struggles with this idea of how can there be another life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to reflect on our current existence.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا إلى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأصحاب الرس وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسل فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He paints for us some scenes and conversations on the Day of Judgment. He tells us of a conversation that will happen between people that have been thrown into hellfire together, a disbeliever and the one that pushed him towards disbelief, the qareen or the shaitan that he used to follow. And the shaitan will say, I did not make so-and-so transgress. I didn't make him do anything. And this is a very powerful quote in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us of a conversation that will take place in the future. And it's meant as a reminder for us today that anything that pulls us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, that thing will disown us. We cannot use it as an excuse. And we'll see that they will say, just as is quoted in this next page, that I did not make him transgress. He had gone astray on his own. We're going to be responsible for our own actions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shares with us a very graphic scene here. And He tells us of this conversation that will be had with hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask hellfire this question and say that, are you full? Are you full? And hellfire will respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, are there more? Send me more. I'm not full, that I can handle more. And this is a terrifying scene. And then on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the believers. And He tells us, just as hellfire was spoken to earlier, and hellfire is hungry for more people, that Jannah will be brought close to the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is for the believers who feared Allah without seeing Him. And they came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart. And this is a very powerful expression in the Quran, qalbin salim, a sound heart. And this is something that as believers, we have to reflect on, and we have to understand that this is one of our main objectives, is to always be working on our heart and the soundness and the pureness of our heart. We have to work on it from a level of belief, a level of spirituality, a level of socially, how pure is our heart? How do we think about other people? How do we think about Allah? How do we understand our faith? All of these things, we have to work on purifying our heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us ultimately, He says that these people, they will enter in Jannah forever and they will have whatever they want therein.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٌ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقيا في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد قال قرينه ربنا ما طغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد قال لا تختصموا لدي وقد قدمت إليكم بالوعيد ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزيد وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب منيب ادخلوها بسلام ذلك يوم الخلود لهم ما يشاءون فيها ولدينا مزيد.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He starts off again by reminding us of nations that came in the past and that rejected the message and denied the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their destruction. And then He tells us that all of this, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this in the Quran? All of this is meant to serve as a reminder for the one who has a heart and who is paying attention, who is aware and is conscious of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to not worry and don't be stressed about what they say. That if they're not accepting and if, you know, all the effort and work that he's putting in and all the opposition that he's facing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him not to worry. Instead, he tells him to be patient and to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sunrise and sunset. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that he is fully aware of what they're saying. And then he reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you're not there, your job is not to force them. You're not there to force them into submission, your job is just to remind them. Your job is to remind them with the Quran, and that this message, this reminder, it will only have an impact on those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ بَطْشًا فَنَقَّبُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ هَلْ مِنْ مَحِيصٍ إن في ذلك لذكرى لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو شهيد. ولقد خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام وما مسنا من لغوب. فاصبر على ما يقولون وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل الغروب. ومن الليل فسبحه وأدبار السجود. واستمع يوم ينادي المناد من مكان قريب. يوم يسمعون الصيحة بالحق ذلك يوم الخروج. إنا نحن نحيي ونميت وإلينا المصير. يوم تشقق الأرض عنهم سراعا ذلك حشر علينا يسير. نحن أعلم بما يقولون وما أنت عليهم بجبار. فذكر بالقرآن من يخاف وعيد.
That concludes Surah Qaf. On the next page, inshallah, we're beginning Surah Dhariyat. Surah Dhariyat is a Meccan surah that contains 60 ayat. In this first page of Surah Dhariyat, we find a beautiful description of the muttaqin. And this is a beautiful reminder for us, especially given the days that we are in and the days of Ramadan, that these are things that inshallah you and I can put into practice. And again, we've talked about this many times before, but the objective of fasting is so that we can exercise taqwa, so that we can exercise this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this awareness that really affects our decision-making. It pushes us to do what is right, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it reminds us to stay away from anything that is displeasing to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the muttaqeen on this page, He says that they sleep less. They don't sleep the entire night. They sleep less, meaning they sleep some part of the night and they spend other parts of the night worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the early morning, in suhoor time, in the early morning part, they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that you and I can do when we're awake at that time, when we're having our suhoor, that we can try to utilize that time to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can. And then these people, they also recognize that there is a known right, there is a known haq, a known responsibility in their wealth for others. That there are other people that have a right over their wealth and possession. And this is a very interesting concept. It's something that's hard to internalize because a lot of times any wealth and any possessions that we have, we take them as our own. We say, this is mine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people as saying that these people recognize that the wealth that they were blessed with, there are other people that are deserving of that. It's their responsibility to pay it forward to those that are in need and those that are struggling. And this is another thing that you and I can practice in these blessed days, that we can make sure that we're giving something every single night. And we're hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that from us. And that this page concludes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this juz and this page with the incident of the angels visiting Ibrahim alayhi salam. And when the angels were on the way to destroy Lut alayhi salam, and they stopped by Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they give Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife glad tidings of a child. And the response of the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where she's shocked, she can't believe that she's going to have a child, and she even expresses that, how can I have a child when I'm so old? And the final verse on this page, a very beautiful reminder, the response of the angels. They say that it will happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. And this is such a beautiful reminder of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even though she's shocked by this, and again, she's a wife of a prophet, and even Ibrahim alayhi salam is shocked by this, and they're given this reminder that it'll happen. It's very simple. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so and willed it, then it will happen. And Allah is all wise and all knowing.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذاريات ذروا فالحاملات وقرا فالجاريات يسرا فالمقسمات أمرا إنما توعدون لصادق وإن الدين لواقع والسماء ذات الحبك إنكم لفي قول مختلف يؤفك عنه من أفك قتل الخراسون الذين هم في غمرة ساهون يسألون أيان يوم الدين يوم هم على النار يفتنون ذوقوا فتنتكم هذا الذي كنتم به تستعجلون إن المتقين في جنات وعيون آخذين ما آتاهم ربهم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم وفي الأرض آيات للموقنين وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون فورب السماء والأرض إنه لحق مثل ما أنكم تنطقون هل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون فأوجس منهم خيفة قالوا لا تخف وبشروه بغلام عليم فأقبلت امرأته في صرة فصكت وجهها وقالت عجوز عقيم قالوا كذلك قال ربك إنه هو الحكيم العليم.
بارك الله فيكم جزاك الله خير. Thank you for joining us for this recitation and reflection of the 26 juz. Again, I'd like to just remind everyone to please check out our sponsor, hhrd.org, and see the work that they're doing on the ground. And again, they do accept sadaqah, zakat, and fidya. I'd like to thank Abdul Mu'izz for the beautiful recitation, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates for him, and facilitates his learning and education that he's currently involved in at the Qalam Seminary. And I'd also like to again remind everyone to please check out supportqalam.com and also qalamlive.com. We'll find a lot of resources that Qalam is making available for everyone to benefit. And there's programs for every member of your family, inshallah. So please check out all the resources that are available. And if you're able to contribute, please do so. And I just want to remind you of some of the upcoming programs tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, inshallah, after the recitation and reflection of the 27th juz, we're going to have our qiyam. I'll say qiyam because we're not really going to be praying, but we will have reminders from the qalam instructors and recitation of the Quran as well. So please join us for a program, and that'll be at 11 or 11:30. I'm not sure, but you can check. Every night in the last 10 nights of this month, Sheikh Abdul Nasser and Ustad Murphy are doing a program called Seeking from Allah. They're going over different du'as in the Quran, and that's at midnight every night. So if you're able to join that, please do so as well. Please keep everyone in your du'as. Please keep us in your du'as and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to continue serving and doing whatever work is available. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for any shortcomings. And pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from the last few days of the month of Ramadan. Jazakallah khair for joining us, and inshallah we'll see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.